It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. There's new research on the relationship between genetics and breast cancer. Testing positive for a BRCA mutation doesn't necessarily mean you're going to develop breast cancer. 25% of women who have a BRCA mutation won't get cancer. Yet many women who carry a mutation will still feel pressure to get risk-reducing surgeries, even if the risk is unknown. We'll break down some misconceptions and talk about the latest research. Do you carry a BRCA mutation? What did you do when you found out? Did you see a genetic counselor? Did you feel pressure to get surgery? Are you a man with a BRCA mutation? What was your experience? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Suzanne Zappello is a freelance writer whose beats are breast cancer, food, and culture. Her article in the Outline is called, I Had a Mastectomy to Lessen My Risk of Breast Cancer. Does New Science Say That Was a Mistake? Suzanne, good morning and welcome to The Morning Show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
We should start out by asking, what are BRCA genes and why are they important?
So BRCA or BRCA genes are something everybody has. There are two genes, BRCA1 and BRCA2, and they are tumor suppressor genes. And so every single person has them, but some people have a mutation of one or both of those genes. And what that means generally with a mutation is that it increases your percentage likelihood of developing breast, ovarian, pancreatic, and melanoma cancers over your lifetime. And in men, it also increases the risk of prostate cancer.
So there's a common misconception that having a BRCA mutation means that you have to get a double mastectomy in order to avoid developing breast cancer. But that's not actually the case, is it? Why not?
No, definitely not. It's entirely based on your personal preference. I think if you test positive for a BRCA mutation, you generally should be speaking with a genetic counselor, and that genetic counselor is going to talk to you about your options. Generally, there are two widely accepted options, surveillance or preventative surgery. So surveillance would mean that you're undergoing either a mammogram or a sonogram or an MRI every 6 months, and otherwise you might opt for a preventative surgery. But no doctor is going to tell you have to do one thing or another. It also totally depends on your family history. When was the first diagnosis of cancer in your family? Things like that are all taken into consideration when coming up with your treatment plan.
We're talking about the BRCA mutation and what it means and some common misconceptions about it. Do you carry the BRCA or BRCA mutation? And if so, what did you do when you found out? Did you see a genetic counselor? Did you feel pressure to get surgery? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So having the BRCA mutation doesn't mean you can be absolutely sure of your odds of eventually developing cancer. I've had doctors tell me that if you live long enough, you'll get cancer one way or the other. But what do the odds look like if you have the BRCA mutation?
Right. So cancer is a disease of the aging, but when you have a BRCA mutation, it depends on which mutation you have. But the widely accepted percentage that kind of falls in both BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutation is about a 75% chance over your lifetime of developing breast cancer. And depending on your 1 or 2 status, a 60 or 50% chance of developing ovarian cancer in your lifetime. The other cancers are less known, also less commonly linked to BRCA, but are known to be linked to BRCA mutations. But the two important ones that doctors focus on, especially with women, of course, are breast and ovarian cancers.
So there are thousands of different variants of these BRCA mutations, but there are three different categories. Within each of the categories, lots and lots of variants. This is really complicated. Could you break this down for us a little bit?
Yeah, it is really complicated, and I only just learned about some of this myself, and I found out about my mutation 3 years ago. But there are three categories. So there are variant of unknown significance, which is a VUS variant, a deleterious or pathogenic variant, and then a benign variant. So deleterious or pathogenic means that obviously your mutation will absolutely increase your risks of developing these cancers. Benign is not going to increase your risk, and variant of unknown significance is sort of leaving you in an unfortunate limbo.
So when a woman finds out she has a BRCA mutation that can't be classified as benign or as cancer-causing, what are her options? What comes next?
The options are pretty similar to somebody who comes up with a pathogenic variant as well. So again, there's a lot of focus on speaking with a genetic counselor. And when you find out that you might have an unknown variant, most doctors and genetic counselors will likely put you more in the surveillance category because they don't want you to do anything that might be totally unnecessary. So, for instance, the study that just came out in Nature that recategorized some of these BRCA1 mutations found that the unknown variants were actually, many of them were actually benign, so they were recategorized. However, the people who are also in this category, it is entirely up to them what they do. The same with somebody who is in the category like mine, where they have a pathogenic mutation. They could get surgery. They could go under surveillance. It's a 100% personal decision.
How does genetic counseling come into play? Why is genetic counseling important?
Well, it's important for two reasons. First, it's important to see a genetic counselor before you take one of these tests. That's both to see if it's necessary to avoid any undue costs on taking a test like this if you really do not need it. Maybe you have no significant cancer history in your family. But also to prepare you for what the results might be, and then when the results come back, what to do with those results. It's nice to know, you know, what you're going to be up against when you get those results and what your options are, to sort of mentally prepare yourself, because even though it isn't a cancer diagnosis, it is still a heavy weight on you learning that you might have a BRCA mutation.
Well, do you think most women who are tested for BRCA mutation get genetic counseling? I mean, is that normal, and is it accessible to most people?
I think it's becoming more normal and more accessible. There are genetic counselors who are available online. There are centers that will automatically refer you to a genetic counselor when you're going over your family history, whether it's with your primary care physician or an OBGYN, for instance. However, I do know quite a significant number of women who never saw a genetic counselor, myself included, both before testing for the BRCA mutation and after testing positive for it.
We're talking with Suzanne Zuppello, a freelance writer who focuses on breast cancer, food, and culture. Her recent article in The Outline is titled, "I Had a Mastectomy to Lessen My Risk of Breast Cancer." Does new science say that was a mistake? We'll continue our conversation, and when we come back, we want to talk about whether or not most women who test positive for BRCA mutations feel pressure to undergo surgery, even if it isn't known whether their particular mutation is benign or not. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. There's new research on the relationship between genetics and breast cancer. Testing positive for a BRCA or BRCA mutation doesn't necessarily mean you're going to develop breast cancer. Do you carry a BRCA mutation? What did you do when you found out? Did you see a genetic counselor? Did you feel pressure to get surgery? If you're a man with a BRCA mutation, what has your experience been like? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Suzanne Zappello is a freelance writer who focuses on breast cancer, food, and culture. Her recent article in The Outline is titled, "I Had a Mastectomy to Lessen My Risk of Breast Cancer. Does New Science Say That Was a Mistake?" Suzanne, do you think that women who test positive for BRCA mutations feel pressure to undergo surgery, even if it isn't known whether their particular mutation is benign or not?
I think if they're feeling pressure, then they should be speaking to whether they're already speaking to a genetic counselor or a physician. I think if they're feeling pressured to do one thing or another, they should always get a second opinion, whether you have a significant history of breast cancer or ovarian cancer in your family or not, it's still your decision, and it's a major surgery, whether you have cancer or not as well. Both surgeries to remove your ovaries or your breasts, they're not something to be taken lightly. I personally did not feel pressure. My doctors very clearly laid out the options and said that the decision was entirely mine, and obviously they would support me whichever route I chose.
A company called Myriad Genetics has played a big role in BRCA testing and what we know about these mutations. Can you explain how Myriad has played into all of this?
Yeah, so Myriad owned the patent to the BRCA gene and was the only company testing for the gene for about 22 years. And so while they lost their patent in a Supreme Court case and other companies are now able to test for the gene, they still have 17,000 BRCA gene variants in a silo that no other physician is able to access. And so other researchers have developed ways to test for BRCA mutations, some of them using CRISPR technology, which is a gene editing technology to essentially create thousands of variations of a BRCA gene. So they're having to redo the work because Myriad owns all of these gene variants and will not share it for public use.
And originally, when they had the patent on the test, it cost $3,000. What does it cost now?
Well, it's still an expensive test, just like any blood work. But when I entered into the test, and I think when most people do, your physician will tell you, depending on your risk of cancer, depending on how necessary your insurance company deems this, that then it'll be covered or not. So somebody in my position, because I had significant family history, my test was covered. There are also other options now for taking a BRCA test, whether it's color or 23andMe. Those are much more affordable options, but they are done via mail. They're not an in-person testing. There's not that face-to-face contact to discuss whether the test is necessary and the counseling after.
We're talking with Suzanne Zappello about the BRCA mutation and what it means these days. New research on the relationship between genetics and breast cancer means that testing positive for this mutation doesn't necessarily mean you're going to develop breast cancer or some other cancer. Wondering, do you carry a BRCA mutation? Share your story with us. What did you do when you found out? Did you see a genetic counselor, for example? Did you feel pressure to get some sort of surgery? Men can also have this mutation. If that's the case and you have it, what was your experience like? Give us a call, share your story with us, and you may have some questions for our guest as well. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Suzanne Zappello is a freelance writer focusing on breast cancer, food, and culture. She had a recent article in The Outline titled, "I Had a Mastectomy to Lessen My Risk of Breast Cancer. Does New Science Say That Was a Mistake?" So, Suzanne, Myriad still has proprietary information about BRCA and breast cancer risk. What information do they still have that they won't share?
Like I mentioned, they have 17,000 variants of BRCA mutations that are proprietary that other researchers aren't able to tap into to. Cross-reference with their own research. However, there are a couple of databases that do share this knowledge publicly. So there's the BRCA Exchange or BRCA Exchange, which it's a curated data platform that's in collaboration with other research labs and scientists that can input their research of BRCA mutations and make it known whether they're a variant of unknown significance, benign, or pathogenic. So there are ways that the public can access what their mutation is once they receive that information, and there are platforms for physicians and researchers to access as well to cross-reference their findings.
I understand that the National Institutes for Health ClinVar database, and more recently a study published in Nature, classified an additional 2,000 BRCA mutations as either benign or pathogenic. What do we know about it? I mean, is this something the general public can get at? And if we could, what use would we make of it?
Yeah, so they did make these databases public. The ClinVar database is used in the BRCA Exchange, among other databases that are in there as well. For the public, unless you test for this gene, the database doesn't really do anything for you. You need to know exactly what your variant is to search it on there. But for scientists, it means a lot. It means that they can play around with gene editing and see what these genes mean, test for these unknown variants, which are also listed in the databases, and use it whether they're studying more just about the mutation itself or treatments for cancers related to these genes.
800-642-1234. Let's take a call from Stephanie, who joins us from Madison. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling about a research article I read a few years back out of Switzerland or Sweden that really looked at women's experiences who have the positive BRCA1 or 2 mutations. And it wasn't necessarily looking at pressure from providers about needing to do something, but it was pressure women experienced from families about potentially not going through with a surgery that could prevent, you know, cancer from happening. Like your host said, you know, or like the guest said, these are significant surgeries and they really need to be, you know, carefully thought through, especially, you know, given, you know, new emerging research. And so women really felt, you know, this pressure from families of, well, why wouldn't you do this surgery if this would keep you around longer?
Suzanne, what about what Stephanie has to say here?
Yeah, I think it's really important to note, especially because a lot of women are undergoing these surgeries at younger ages. For instance, I have friends actually who've tested positive for this gene, and their families have not wanted them to undergo surgery. They found that it was too drastic, and they tried to talk them out of it. I brought my parents to every single doctor's appointment, and at the end of the day, they told me it was my decision. They would support me either way. I think once I decided that I would get a preventative surgery, they were a little relieved, just because when you're told that you have an 87% chance of developing breast cancer in your lifetime, it's more than likely that you're going to develop cancer. And what family member, parents especially, want to see their child or their family go through cancer? But I do think there is a lot of pressure on both sides of that, to undergo surgery or to not undergo surgery at all.
What about the public perception of breast cancer and BRCA and how that's changed since Angelina Jolie's very public surgeries and struggle with cancer? Is this a good thing because of increased awareness, or a bad thing because more people may misunderstand what BRCA mutations are and how they work?
I think there's a little bit of both there. Angelina Jolie being so public about her BRCA mutation has opened the door to a lot of women knowing that there is this test available and considering their family history. But there is also this sense that, you know, this sort of celebrity trend of, now I need to get this test because maybe I have this gene and maybe I need to undergo surgery, without fully knowing that only 10% of breast cancers are linked to BRCA mutations. So that's a very slim group of people that are going to fit in the Angelina Jolie category. And again, I just cannot stress enough how important it is to talk about this with a doctor, with a genetic counselor, before even thinking about taking the test.
Where can we get more information? We've got about 30 seconds left. What's the best place for people to go?
There is an awesome organization at the University of Pennsylvania called the Basser Center. So if you go to basser.org, you'll be able to find a ton of resources there to talk about what a BRCA mutation is and if you should test for it.
Thanks a lot, Suzanne. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks so much, John.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. Suzanne Zappello, freelance writer who focuses on breast cancer, food, and culture. Recent article and outline is called, I Had a Mastectomy to Lessen My Risk of Breast Cancer. Does new science say that was a mistake? I'm John Munson. This is the morning show on the Ideas Network.